Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 113. I'm Rob Wright, editor of Search Security, and I am here once again with my site editor, Peter Loschen. Peter, welcome.
Hi, Rob.
Peter, we are recording this on a Thursday, not our usual day, Thursday the 21st of June. We're going to talk about one of our favorite subjects. I know I've been saying that a lot lately. I guess it's not really one of our favorite subjects.
Okay.
It's one of our most frequently discussed subjects.
Sure.
I guess debated subjects.
Oh, yeah.
Hacking back.
Yes, hacking back.
So a story came out in the New York Times not too long ago that reported the U.S. Cyber Command was... The Pentagon had approved the U.S. Cyber Command to perform daily and constant offensive cyber attacks against, you know, rogue nations, nation-state APTs, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess government infrastructure, although it doesn't completely specify what the targets are going to be. And this was notable because U.S. Cyber Command traditionally does not do that. U.S. Cyber Command has traditionally been a defensive operation to protect, you know, government assets, government agencies, government infrastructure from cyber attacks. And this would be a change. And it's notable because, man, there's been a lot of talk about hacking back lately. So... Peter, when you read this news, and our own Mike Heller, a senior reporter, did a follow-up story on this and talked to a couple experts on it, but when you read about this, what was your reaction? Surprised? Not surprised?
Not surprised. Not happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's another poorly formulated policy with... potential for horrible fallout and side effects and outcomes, but
yeah,
hey, you know,
it's sort of par for the course lately.
that's one thing, yeah. And on the other hand, you gotta figure that some of our antagonists are attacking us daily and offensively.
Yeah,
but the. You know, this is how wars start, by, you know, one party takes an action that harms, yep, another party, and the other, yep, party takes another action back.
And it escalates,
yeah. And, oh, the other thing of concern, of course, is how certain are you of your attribution?
Mm.
We've all seen those little quick GIFs of people getting tapped in the head by one party. They turn around and they see another party that they assume was the one who tapped them in the head, and they punch them, the wrong person. So
I actually haven't seen any of those GIFs. But
oh, there's got to be a whole.
You got to send some to me on Slack.
Sure. Yeah.
I feel like I've been deprived.
Yeah. I mean, it's an old comedy bit too.
Like a Stooges, Three Stooges. I'm going way back.
I'm sure that they've done it, but I'm sure that they stole it from somebody else who, right, stole it from somebody else and so on, back through the ages. But, I mean, this is classic. And when it's people up on a stage doing it, it's comedy. But when it's governments doing it, it's not. So.
Yeah, and it's – so to your point about this sort of being a vague, sort of poorly thought out it's hard to tell from the New York Times report, like, what is really in this. And it's, I guess they call it a vision statement, according to the documents that they've viewed or the reports that they've gotten from intelligence and military officials who they've talked to. But basically, they want to sort of perform these constant disruptive cyber attacks on foreign adversaries that are quote unquote short of war. And, you know, we've talked about this before. We've written about this a lot before. There's no real definition for what is a cyber act of war. A lot of people seem to think it's, you know, if you attack critical infrastructure or you create some type of cyber attack that leads to loss of life, you know, directly, indirectly, it's not really clear, but that would be an act of war. You know, the Sony breach, the stuff that we've seen in the last year that's been attributed to Russia, not really rising to the act of a of cyber warfare. But again, that just shows you that, like, we don't have a complete or even a near complete picture of what an act of war really would be. So what is short of war? And the objective apparently is to, quote, contest dangerous adversary activity before it impairs our national power. So is this preemptive? Preemptive strikes? DDoS attacks, crippling network attacks on you know, foreign computer networks? That's kind of what I sort of assumed reading this for the first time. Like, okay, that's what they're talking about. They want to bring down the web, or they want to bring down computer networks or ISP networks or whatever. But maybe that's a generous reading of this. Maybe they have more sort of debilitating cyber attacks that they'd like to commit.
Well, you know, we've spoken and even jokingly in the past about cyber weapons and
yeah,
you know, some of these kinds of things. But if you have a weapon, it's really hard to look at that weapon and decide that you're never going to use it. And in fact, some people think that the presence, the existence of owning a weapon is a good reason to find ways that you can use it because you've spent money on it. And yeah, so if you have cyber weapons and they haven't been stolen by your contractors and revealed to the world through WikiLeaks or some other mechanism, then, you know, you might as well use them before they get compromised, I guess. That's another, you know, another
yeah,
less than happy thought.
But, I mean, even the term cyber weapons, when that was used to discuss, like, the NSA hacking tools that were eventually publicized and published, released by the shadow brokers, or the Vault 7 hacking, like, those aren't, I never considered those to be weapons. Those were tools of surveillance and intrusion and cyber espionage, by and large. I mean, there may be some, you know, some exceptions to that rule here and there, but it wasn't, we didn't see a lot of, oh, this is a plan of attack to, you know, like a Stuxnet. Or even something that was like here's a DDoS attack that we're going to, you know, a new type of amplification attack that would literally knock the internet out in a particular nation for days or longer. Who knows? So I guess this would be more in line with being a weapon when you're talking about offensive cyber measures, cybersecurity measures, cyber attacks. Like, that's more in line with, like, the concept of a weapon, to me, at least. I don't know.
Sure.
If you agree.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Stuxnet, in my mind, anything that causes the machines to do something that causes that results in damage is like a weapon. And that includes, I mean, we're sitting here talking, and I'm just thinking, well, how would you turn, how could you apply a cyber or how could you design a piece of software that turns the software into a weapon? And the first thing I'm thinking is, well, a lot of devices that run on batteries have there's APIs that let you access information about the device itself.
Right.
So you know, all you need to do is get a piece of software that checks, is this thing running on a battery? Is it connected to a power source? Is there a way that I can cause the system to overheat itself sufficiently to cause a battery to go on fire? And there you have a weapon. Now, if you do that once, maybe it's not a big deal. But if let's say you let that loose on all of the cell phones for a particular government, and all of a sudden, everybody in the government is no longer able. Not only are they no longer able to talk to each other on their cell phones, but some percentage of those people have had their pants go on fire, because they keep their cell phone in their pants and the cell phone caught fire. I mean, there's a lot, there's so much that we don't know. There's certainly so much that I don't know that I, that, but what I do know is that when you escalate, that's, you're moving in a direction towards a state of war.
Yeah.
Whereas if you try not to escalate things, that's how you avoid war, and war is bad.
War is bad.
I think, you know, we want to say that. We should probably say that. That,
that should have been the first thing that we said, war, bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
just as a mission statement, a vision statement, if you will.
Yeah, a vision statement, yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing that ordinarily would go without saying. I mean, we all know that war is bad.
Yeah. But this is cyber war, so maybe people don't view it the same way. I think that's dangerous.
Yeah.
That's it's not kinetic warfare in the traditional sense, but it still could lead to some very serious outcomes.
Yeah.
I want to read you something, because I this subject came up at RSA, obviously. You know, Mike wrote a story about the Hacking Back panel and how there seemed to be more chatter supporting offensive measures, cyber attacks, and hacking back and allowing companies or private sector companies to hack back. And I wonder if that sort of in itself, like that conversation and the amount of people we've seen talking about it and to the media like us, but and on, you know, in the InfoSec Twitter sphere and other places, if that's been, like, if they knew something, like if they knew that this sort of position within the government was shifting and this is sort of laying the groundwork for sort of a shift in the way that we, a larger shift in the way that we view it, because there does seem to be more, there's not as many people who are, I guess, are shooting it down. There's a lot of people out there that are saying, well, you know, it's something to consider. And it's, that's, so I asked Rob Lee, CEO of Dragos, I keep calling it Dragos, but whatever, I'll get that fixed at some point. In our discussion at RSA about this, and I said, well, you know, there's a lot of talk about hacking back here. What do you think of that? And he said, it's quote unquote, it's absolutely asinine. He's been a long time critic of hacking back, but he said something interesting to your point about attribution and escalation. He was talking about these offensive cyber attacks in the context of ICS and critical infrastructure and blackouts, and this lead to loss of life. And he said, I asked him, I said, re-entering an arms race where this is just going to keep escalating. And he said, yes, it's going to go back and forth. This is the interesting thing, he said. All of this stuff is going to happen, quote, he said, but the military aspect of it is concerning. And one of the other things that concerns me is intelligence teams preparing for potential military action that could be perceived as actual military action, or an intelligence team potentially making a mistake in sensitive infrastructure and causing inadvertently what it eventually is an attack. So, like, preparing to do something and then you accidentally do it, or somebody flips a switch somewhere and boom, the lights go out. He said, that's a very concerning area that we must address. It doesn't sound like this plan has addressed those things. Again, we haven't viewed it. This is the New York Times reporting it. But, you know, in Mike's story, he's talked to people, I've talked to people, you've talked to people. That's a concern, because if we do something, if we go off half-cocked and we launch a cyber attack sort of inadvertently, that could lead to retaliation, not just against the government, but against private companies, private industries, which are, you know, they're not in this. Like, they're not in this game. They didn't commit to this. So that retaliation aspect is, that's got to be concerning for enterprises. So what do you do? Like, what can you do?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, the status quo right now, at least we're told that, you know, we hear reports about Chinese or attacks that are sourced from what appear to be China.
Yeah, Chinese government, Chinese intelligence, yeah.
Right. I mean, Russia, same thing. Yep. North Korea, same thing. Iran, same thing. I'll stop there, but each of those actors, each of those adversaries of ours has their own agenda. North Korea has certain things that they're looking to do. They're not necessarily looking to destroy everything in our country so much as a lot of their efforts seem to be around making money, getting profit. China, a lot of their actors are looking to get intellectual property. They are going after private companies. Russia, they're going for political outcomes. And any of those actors could very easily deflect attention from themselves by doing a well-crafted false flag attack.
And we've already seen that. I hate that term, but it's true. We saw it with the Olympic destroyer attack.
And false flag is, it's not like it's a new thing. I mean,
no, it's not.
I'm going to, before we sat down, I was going to look this up, but I'll bet that's one of the oldest tricks in the book, one way or another.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you walk into this arena and you say, I'm going to hack back against our adversaries who are hacking us, without explicitly acknowledging the fact that we are not going to be fooled by false flag attacks, or we're not going to be fooled by misattribution, or we're not going to take action unless we're 100% or 110% certain of our attribution. If you don't say that, if you don't acknowledge that there's that possibility, then you're almost guaranteeing that it's going to happen.
Yeah. And the other thing that concerns me about all of this, to follow on to that point, is let's say you get all of that right. Let's say you get all of that right. Let's say the U.S. Cyber Command, they put together a crackerjack matrix-level team of forensic investigators and hackers that are never going to make any misattributions, never going to accuse the wrong nation or the wrong APT, are never going to overreach, and are always going to be careful with their cyber attacks, careful and successful with their cyber attacks. Fine. That's all great. But you're taking U.S. Cyber Command away from their core mission, which is to defend the government, defend the country against these types of attacks. So can you honestly say that you're confident that they're going to be able to do both? I mean, Peter, we just talked about the DHS report in a recent discussion. The DHS report is out there saying, no, most of the agencies out there are at risk or significant risk, and they're underprotected. I mean, that's concerning. Now you want to shift priorities to offensive? You're not going to be able to stop all of those offensive, you know, threats out there that are looking to hack us. And to just shift all that away from defense, that's scary. That is scary.
Agreed.
Sorry to be the pessimist again. Have our rules swung back around?
It's entirely possible that we are. Well, I don't know, because I'm with you on this. I don't think it's a good move.
No, I know.
I'm not convinced that our defense is so great.
It's definitely not.
Nor am I convinced that our offense is very good, because either we're operating at such a stealth level that nobody even detects our attacks. Or we're just, you know, we're not.
Stuxnet is really the big giveaway there. I mean, it's hard. And now with all those tools that have been released, like, I mean, those aren't offensive cyber attacks per se, like the ones we're talking about. But now we know that those types of things, NSA, CIA, those types of things go on, and now you're bringing in Cyber Command too, allegedly.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know that it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Stuxnet was apparently a successful operation, but it's ancient history.
It is. Yeah.
I mean,
and now everyone knows we were involved. I mean, and the culprits being, you know, Israeli intelligence and U.S. intelligence. It's sort of conventional wisdom. It's hard for the U.S. to deny it now. But yeah, you wonder how many other ops out there have gone on that we don't know about. We'll see.
And how successful
they've been. Well, It's not great news, but it was fun to discuss this with you, Peter. It was fun. Maybe might not be the wrong word. Right word. It's probably the wrong word. It was good to discuss this with you. So I thank you for coming in here and chatting with me in Chernobyl about this.
I'm always glad to be here.
Before there are any real, like, meltdowns, nuclear meltdowns. I don't know why I went there. critical infrastructure attacks, you know, yeah, the way my brain works.
It's certainly not something to laugh at, but yeah, just did. So
is it, you laugh to keep from crying.
Sometimes.
So, thank you, Peter. Thank you for joining me as usual.
And as usual, I'm always happy to be here.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Cert Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.